Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. Harris Tutsovich is a multifaceted music professional with expertise in DJing, music production, composition, and songwriting. Harris finds inspiration in a wide range of genres, including minimalism, rock, classical, jazz, funk, dance, electronic, and world music. He has contributed to shaping the original London tech house sound alongside a bunch of talented artists, and has been releasing music that resonates across different music scenes and collaborating with artists who share the same vision since the late 90s. Following a need for exciting, fresh, current, yet timeless sounds, in 2000, Harris founded La Music, a label that values innovation and believes in releasing forward-thinking music. After completing a Sound Arts MA at London's University of Arts in 2009, this opened up another world of sound possibilities and turned his thinking and practice to a conceptual direction. Harris is also a working composer writing music for major production music publishers. His music is used by many filmmakers and featured on various major TV stations and production houses worldwide. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Harris Tutsovich. Where do we find you in the world? How are you doing and what's happening in your life?
Hey, thank you so much for your invitation. What's happening in my life? Quite a few things at the moment. I'm living in Dubrovnik in Croatia, so we had quite a busy season. Apart from doing some occasional gigs here and there, I've been writing music, to be honest, kind of getting my head around this plethora of new concepts that are kind of popping out and around at the moment, like a research bit. But yeah, I'm getting ready to have like a studio bender. So to stay in the studio for quite a few months and lock myself in and make quite a few new tracks. I think that's my plan. So yeah, getting myself inspired. I think that's the main thing I'm doing at the moment.
Let's rewind to the beginning of your journey in the entertainment world or music world. So at what age, whether it was as a child or teenager or whenever, did you realize, cool, this is the path I want to take? And how did that journey accumulate to where we are today?
Well, basically, I can't remember when I started playing music and playing with music instruments. It was more kind of like a crossfade from this child's stage, which is like up to 3 or 4, where you don't really remember a lot. And I think this is where my stepfather kind of showed me the keyboard a little bit. And we had this old harmonium, which is like accordion with a fan in there. And that's what's kind of like the first keyboard I've used when I was really young. And my stepfather was a musician, and he had before he passed away, he made 5 albums with his band here in Dubrovnik, and they play all sorts of things, you know, mainly world music kind of style, which is typical for this area of the world. Actually, I was lucky, you know, to have him as my parent. And because then he put me into music school when I was, I think, 8. And I did about 7 years of, we have like 6 years of primary, 1 year before primary, and 4 years of music high school. So I went to a specific school, which was just for music, which wasn't economy or maths. It was a high school for music, which is something we have in Croatia. I don't think it's common. On other parts of the world. In England, for instance, they have high school, but then from the third year of the high school, you can take 2 years as like music technology or something like that. But yep, there is no specific school, which is kind of in the governmental system, that it's also, you know, a music school. So that's what I did. And after that, there were some troubles here in the Balkans in the early 90s. So after the troubles, I went to moved to London, to England. And that's kind of where I've started to get involved with music more and more. Before I left for London, here in Croatia, I had a band. I was playing keyboards and I also played in orchestra. And I have to produce some of my stepfather's albums. Also, I played some things on there as well. So I had some experience. And also, I had music school, and I played piano and violin, which was kind of useful. And I played a little bit of guitar, and I sang a little bit too in that time. So when I moved to London, my first music job was busking. So I was kind of busking in the same spot where Beatles were busking in Leicester Square in Tottenham Court Road. So which was kind of cool, you know, when you're 20 and you're busking in London, you're making, I don't know, if you make £50 a day, that's kind of amazing because you're just out of school and you're in new town. So that was kind of cool for me. And after that, I got hooked up with some musicians. I've started going to jam sessions, playing with some, UK African musicians as well, Jamaican musicians, native English musicians as well. So also people from all over the world would come to those jam sessions. And that was kind of, you would wait on the side of the stage, until, one of them gets tired or makes, too many mistakes. And then the guy who runs the session, he goes, go off, you next. So that was cool as well. And that's where I met quite a few musicians and started playing in bands and, doing live gigs and stuff like that. And I also played in one of the ex-Yugoslavian clubs in London, which was called the Golden Parrot. And this club was like right in the middle of Leicester Square. It was called Zubar Venom Place. And this is where they brought a lot of these quite famous people, back in the day in former Yugoslavia. And I actually played for them with them. And I've did the sound for them as well, when that was necessary. And I also DJed. That's kind of where I got into DJing. And, after that, I kind of got the bug, electronic music bug, because of the vinyl and records that were there, because the live gigs weren't, in the live gig venue, proper live gig venue. This was in the club, in like a basement of a big club, and bands would play on the club's sound system. You can imagine the feedback.
Yes.
So, but we had our ways to keep the, volume loud without the feedback, using gates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So after that, I kind of wanted to be, more independent, and I've got into electronic scene, like electronic music scene really in 97, 98, that was more or less in the same time, late 90s. And then in 2000, I started my own label. I was working for this studio in South London, in Croydon, called the Swag Studio. And this is where people like Terry Francis came out, and all the tech house, Eddie Richards, and all the tech house godfathers, people who actually figured out tech house before it turned into what it is today, which is kind of like quite a commercial. It's like a pop house, really, more than tech house. But this version of tech house is now called more minimal or anything like that, and a little bit more arty and experimental music. That's kind of what attracted me. And I was there. I was at Swag for a few years. And after that, when I started my own label, obviously through contacts at Swag, I got offered to have a P&D deal on a label, which is a press and distribution deal where I would give them the music. They would press the records for me. And then we would do all the counting later on. And that allowed me to, this kind of budget allowed me to have a stream of releases. So I had, 30, 40, 50 releases, something like that, in the next 10 years, alongside with all the remixes and all that other work. But in the same time, I was also playing with the, with bands, but also with some DJs, they would play music, and I would bring the keyboard, and I would kind of jam along, with the decks and stuff like that. And that was quite cool, actually, to cross over this live element and playing with the DJing. And yeah, to be honest with you, after, let's say, 10 years of DJing and touring, and because I've DJed, well, I've been to Singapore, I've been to Sydney, Tokyo, I went over America and South America quite a few times. I did quite a few clubs in Europe. And I don't know how these guys can do it for 30, 40 years. But for me, even after 10 years, it was like up to 10 years, it was really exhausting. And I would get really tired and really depressed, you know, after all the fun. Then they would come back to Grey London, you know, stuff like that. I kind of thought, you know, I need to do something different here. You know, I need to do something else because I'm quite curious. So I like to explore different things. So I thought, you know, let's see where I can go from the classical music, jazz, funk, jam sessions, electronic music and DJing. And I've seen this masters for sound arts in London, in University of Arts in London. And I thought I don't have much chance to get accepted, you know, because I, you know, obviously I didn't do all the grades. Sure. But I showed them all the materials that I've been, you know, working on and all the records I did and, you know, all the other stuff. They said, yes, you know, come in and do the MA. So I did 1 year of MA of sound arts, finishing with audiovisual work because I really wanted to go more into kind of into that world, into kind of multimedia world, and to explore the area between music and picture, not just to do music and, you know, see what could happen with the music, but to actually, you know, interfere and intervene and see how I can combine those two. Okay. And that's kind of what my work has been really influenced by, you know, this MA, because it really changed my thinking. You know, I wasn't thinking anymore about the oscillators and frequencies and decibels and, I don't know, even harmony. You know, I've started thinking about concepts and how you can say more with music and how you can make music, even when it doesn't have words, how you can make it meaningful. So it's not just, you know, why are you doing it? Are you doing it just for fun, for, you know, for the backstage, for clubs, for groupies, for fans? Or are you really doing it for, you know, love of music or for exploration? That's kind of the question I've been asking myself. And, you know, from then on, I've started teaching as well. And I taught at quite a few colleges and academies in London, including School of Audio Engineering, SAE, which is quite a famous school. I've been there for nearly 2 years and I did quite a lot in there. I mean, I could have stayed more, but I wanted to do something else. So I wanted to, you know, have more time to make music again. So I kind of, you know, stopped teaching and, you know, spending a lot more time in the studio nowadays.
How long ago did you stop teaching and move back to Croatia?
I've never really, you know, moved back to Croatia as such. I've been moving, I think, about six or seven times.
Okay.
You know, like maybe recently I've been here a little bit longer, but, you know, in the past years I've been kind of between, you know, London and Dubrovnik. So I would, you know, but I was here for maybe, I don't know, 6 months or a year. And then I went to teach, you know, first time, and then I came back, and then I went to teach, and, you know, another time. But I don't know, you know, in the future we'll see. But to be honest with you, cost of living is still less here in Croatia than in England. And yeah. I feel that I have, you know, now that I'm 51, you know, I think I have my head screwed on a little bit more than I had when I was 20 something, you know, and I can appreciate, you know, the quiet moments and the time, you know, that I have, and you know, especially the time that I have for music here, you know, which is really not uninterrupted, you know, and that's kind of what I wanted to have a place anywhere in the world. And I, some people go to Thailand, you know, some people go to, I don't know, wherever, and make music. But for me, it was kind of like Croatia to find, you know, peace of mind, so you can really kind of dig deep inside and bring out the best you can when it comes to music. So that's kind of what I'm thinking.
So when you're now creating the music now, moving forward, what genre of music, or is it just going to be a mix and you're just going to go into the studio and let the energy guide you?
You know, probably a bit of all of that you just mentioned. I've been always fan of fusion, you know, fan of combining perhaps the opposites, you know, and see how they can fit together to, you know, to kind of take the concept of diversity, of worldwide diversity,
yes,
and put that into music. So you know, sometimes you can get like a real mishmash of things, and it's like making cocktails. I think, you know, everyone loves cocktails, you know, but if you put too many things into a cocktail, it just becomes a brown liquid. You know, it loses really loses any taste. You know, you don't really know if it tastes like this or tastes like that. So I think with music it's the same thing. I think, you know, if you If you fuse too many things together, it just becomes a mesh. But it also it could be interesting. You never know what people are going to like, because
Yes.
you're thinking always subjectively what you think. And I know that sometimes I did some things that I thought, oh my God, this is so minimal, so simple, this is so uninteresting. I need to put more on this. It's kind of like the sound isn't all that, and the arrangement isn't that great. It's maybe A B form, if that.
Yeah.
And I played to someone and they said, wow, this is such a crazy track you made. Wow. I said, well, yeah, but it's not finished yet. Yeah, I still have to, I have to change it. It's not finished. No, don't touch it. It's good. It's perfect. I'm like, what? So you can get those situations as well. And I've heard from people, from a lot of producers. I'm not like that. I'm still thinking, working on how to be like this. But I've heard from many producers that they say, when I make my track, unless I'm playing it live, I don't listen to it.
Okay.
So as soon as I finish it, it's
Yes.
done. I'm done
Yes.
listening to it, because every time I listen to it, I'm questioning my work. I'm
Yeah,
questioning
yeah.
myself. I want to go back to it. And if you want to go back to it every time, it's not finished,
Yes.
because you keep reworking it. It's like a car in the garage that has a painted job. You can always do a little bit more on the paint.
Yeah.
You can always do a little bit more on the production too. And it's never ending. Sometimes you just have to say, okay, this is it. This is where I'm at. This is who I am. This is kind of the main thing to realize. This is who I am at the moment. And this
Yeah.
is reflecting through my music. And if I don't love myself, if I don't love what I'm doing, then I'll always want to be someone else and change
Yes.
it. But if I say, well, this is me at the moment, and to get better, I will probably need 3 or 4 or 5 times more time
Yes.
than I think I need. But this is where I'm now. But
Yeah.
look where I've been. Look where I came from. Like
Exactly.
I didn't know anything, when I was 12. But look, now I'm actually making decent tracks.
No, but of
Change.
course, because it's a journey and you keep learning and you keep progressing and you keep getting better. So, what you
Yeah.
did 5 years ago will not be what you do now because you've learned different techniques or you've learned whatever. So absolutely, totally agree with you. But now when you're producing, is it production for yourself or is it for other artists or combination of both?
Well, it's a combination of both, to be honest with
Okay.
you. That I've been just working with this girl. She's a really good singer. I kind of helped her craft her arrangement, and get her song to where it towards where it should be. But also, I'm working on my own material.
Yes.
I'm working on some material for my label, which released a lot of electronic music, which was aimed to go to clubs. But now I'm kind of rethinking the label as well, and seeing how I can change the sound. But I still have some dance tracks that I probably put on it just to end it off. But I'm thinking how I can come up with something not new, but just different, just
Yes.
have like a different combination of elements that are already present and that we're using. Because like people are thinking they can reinvent music, or even worse, invent music. But music has already been invented, and
Yes.
it's those 12 notes that you have in a chromatic scale. There's only so many acceptable combinations for someone's ear that you can play on those 12 notes. So I'm thinking how I can, use those 12 notes in an interesting way, so not just kind of to think, oh, I'm going to make my own synthesizer, and I'm going to, raise my own goats and sheep and make my own drums and stuff
Yeah.
like
From
that.
0 to a 3 to 4 minute song, production, creating, writing, et cetera. Is it easy every time? What motivates it? What invigorates you to keep doing it? Let's dive into your creative world.
Okay, well, I like to come into the studio, even though I have a studio and I have quite a few synths and tools, mics and everything. Even though, I could actually come here and say, look, I'm just going to, fiddle with some knobs and keys and see what I'm going to come up with. I like to come in with an idea, because then, the time in the studio is limited. Even
Yes.
if you don't have wife and kids, you still have to eat, and, a lot of people have to pay rent, and, Music is not like a taxi job where you know every day you're going to get money, you know, but it's kind of wavy. It's quite wavy business. You know, I like to use my time outside of the studio to work on the stuff for the studio. If I know I'll have tomorrow from 10 o'clock, I'm here. I'll probably, you know, night before I'll put some headphones on and put an iPad or something and just go through some stuff on various platforms, you know, without advertising any sharks, any platforms, even promos that I'm getting from a lot of people, and see what they're doing, you know, and see what's the vibe, and you know how I can be part of this community of music producers and users, you know, kind of like make stuff for, and also user, yeah, and make stuff for users like video editors or producers or anything like that, you know, and kind of have an idea of what I'm going to do, you know, and then, you know, when I come to the studio, then I'll have some sort of idea of a harmony, you know, if I'm starting with chords, if it's more of a melodic thing, then obviously you start with chords or just with the melody. I find that starting with chords is quite good. If it's an electronic music track, I'll probably go through some loops and just pull out a quick loop and start making a bass line and some keys and whatever it needs, you know, whatever I think that kind of thing needs. The way I finish tracks, it just depends on the track.
Okay.
I kind of like to have, I also like to have a purpose for the track. So
yes.
If I'm making it, you know, not just to make it for whatever, and then we'll see where is it going to be. That can be such a waste of time, you know, and You know, I'm not thinking like a capitalist, you know, commercialist.
Yes.
Everything needs to be sold and everything needs to be maximized. No, you know, I'm thinking that there needs to be artistic value, but I think you can pump up that artistic value if you have a cause, you know, and if you have obviously people to impress, you know, if you need to impress somebody in order to, you know, get the gig, get the job, obviously you're gonna try and do it. But because that's your work, you're making music, you know, that's your... At the end of the day, that is, without being hardcore capitalist, that's your product. You know, they say that people who know music business are a lot more successful than people who just know music. You know, so I think both they need to, today in this day and age, maybe in the 70s where Arista or somebody, you know, had a huge budget and gave it to you as an artist, you could mess about. But nowadays, you know, especially when you have to do everything yourself and, you know, do all the promotion yourself and do all the contacting yourself and even contacting music supervisors yourself, you know, it's that can take you quite a lot of time. So again, I say that my work is quite streamlined, you know. I'm thinking, how can I finish this rather than, you know, how can I stretch it out and try a million things, you know. I'm thinking like what this needs, how I'm gonna put it together, and how I'm gonna, you know, put it out. It's quite detailed and complicated, the whole process, but this is like a little bit of an outline.
Now, you mentioned that previously you were playing in bands and you were also DJing. You loved them both, obviously, because you did them equally. But what is the difference? But from the person who's experienced both, can you guide us of what, like maybe the three or four main differences between the two, so the listening audience could get an understanding?
The main difference is the timing.
Okay.
When it comes to DJing and playing in bands, unless you have a band that is using like a click track or a drum machine, you know, behind the drummer or something like that. But most bands, they won't do that because that kind of goes against the principles of a live band, because
yes.
You know, in rhythm machines, when you're using rhythm machines and doing house music or anything like that, it's your tempo, or you know, you also trap hip hop, your tempo is constant, so it's going to be 90 or 126 all the time. But if you are playing in band, you're going to have small fluctuations in time. So, you know, the drummers are not, you know, they're humans. We're still not using robots for
yes.
drummers. And I don't think we will, you know, in foreseeable time, because obviously people have, you know, a lot more, of course they have a human feel, but they have, you know, for other people, I think they have a lot more feel than machines have. But still machines have their soul, you know. There's a duo from Scotland called Silicon Soul. And I was always taking their name for kind of this, this feeling that you get from electronic music. It's silicon. It's kind of artificial, but
yes.
it still has soul. These are for me the difference, the timing And obviously flexibility, because we, you know, with live band you can just go, you know, oh, let's just go into C now, 1 2 3 C, you know.
Yes.
And if you want to do that with machines, you can't just press the key and everything will go C, you know.
Yeah.
You'll have to do each machine separately, you know. You'll have to play something in C and then have that switch. If you've been in playing in G, for instance, and now you're in C, you know, you'll have to reprogram that. But also with anything, you know, when you have five guys or in the band, you kind of feed off each other and you breathe off each other, you know. You catch each other's breath almost, you know,
Yeah.
the because you're obviously all, you know, going up and down in the same time with the music, you know. You're kind of grooving with the music, and you connect, and you can do quite a lot quite quickly that you can't with electronic music. But then also there's a sound too, because live band will have a lot more reverb, a lot more ambience when they're playing, because
Yes.
obviously live band will play in this space, and each space has you know, acoustic properties. In the box there are no acoustic properties. You have obviously you have all the electronics, and you have the flow of energy going through the circuits and through all the electronics, you know, accordingly, depending what you're doing, and you know, what's the voltage that, you know, that goes from A to B. That's that question. But when it comes to emitting the sound from the mixing desk, from all these machines, you are only then bumping the sound into the space. So you kind of have a lot less reverb, if you want, or ambience in those sounds before they go into space. When it comes to the live band, you won't have that, because the
Okay.
live band is by default always loud and acoustic.
Harris, I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 days, 2 hours, 2 years, I know your answer would be different every time. I understand
Okay.
that and I get that because there's millions of them. But if you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
First one, I think it must be Time by Pink Floyd. I think that's my song, I think number one. Then I'd probably want to play something by Orb. There's a song called The Box by The
Okay.
Orb. I quite like that. I quite like that. Then I would probably play something by Nirvana, a song called Lake of Fire. I think that is quite good. Then probably I would play something by Albinoni, something like that, you know,
Okay.
like kind of like a big orchestral track. The end, it probably would have to be something like something by Amon Tobin or someone like that, you know. So I always thought of this radio presenter that passed away from England called John Peel, him or someone like Giles Peterson. You know, like these are kind of DJs that really inspire me through the years, because they kind of had no borders. You know, they were thinking outside of the box, and they're
Yes.
like, you know, it doesn't matter if you belong to, you know, a hardcore raver cult group. You know, you can still listen to Mozart. You know,
Exactly.
it doesn't matter if you're kind of a jazz man. You could still maybe listen to like a Japanese
Yes.
underground noise track, you
Yes.
know, something like that, something like Roji Ikeda or something like that, you know, crazy. So, you know, this is my really mentality when it comes to music. I'm trying not to be sticking to one genre
Yes.
strictly, but still to have a sound, you know, still to
Exactly.
have some sort of sound and technique that you're using, you know, with techniques and the instruments that you're using, that will give you a certain sound. If you do all the tracks using the same bass guitar through the same settings and same drum kit, you know, even if you play on one, you play like death metal, another one you play, I don't know, some African folk song, you know, it's probably going to be the sound will be the same, you know, because you're using the same instruments.
Podcast is listened to throughout the world. So, as a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
Oh, if you are into making music, don't give up, you know. And if you need to get a second job, get it, because
Yes.
it's more important to stay in this business than to live off this business, if this is what you want to do. And also to stay open-minded for different kinds of music, not to diss other kind of music. Because you know, there's beauty is in the ear of the beholder. Just remember that music is there to connect people. and still it is today. So, you know, get connected through music, collaborate, you know, go and dance.